You are now listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Welcome to episode 195 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
If you want to tweet at us whilst you're listening to this episode, you can do so at Nerds Podcast, or if for some crazy fucking reason you want to email us, you can do so at contact@nerdsassemble.co.uk. I haven't checked recently retro. Whether or not the email is working again. I'm hoping it is. It'd be kind of bad if it failed again after pressuring our provider to sort it out. But, you know, these things, they these happen. Things. So this week we wanted to talk about download content for video games and how it's changing. I mean, I'm pretty sure we've definitely done at some point a discussion about DLC.
Oh yeah,
on this podcast because we've been going for so long. But we haven't really had a look at it in the past year, and there's been quite some changes going on with obviously like as developers and that.
Yay.
And publishers. Move to different ways to potentially monetize or not content post-release.
Hashtag content.
Hashtag content. So, who wants to go first with their observations about the changing world of DLC?
They're getting a bit more varied, I think. They're getting a bit more imaginative with what they're actually doing and how people can access it, which is my biggest hope for the future. Ubisoft started this with Rainbow Six Siege last year, where you can buy the £30 season pass. In fact, they've now launched another one called Season 2 Pass, because they've committed to actually doing more content for this year as well, for another whole year. The £30 season pass still gets you various things, but the nice thing for me is if I don't want to pay it, which for DLC, I'm never really that interested in it, you can actually earn the stuff through playing the game and earning in-game credit. So the main advantage is you get early access to the new operators sort of 7 days before everybody else gets it, and the new maps and that everybody gets. So you're not left behind as your friends jump into a new map that you can't actually access. So it's actually... For me, that's a positive step in the right direction. If you just want to play the game through and actually earn it as you're playing it, you can. Or you can pay for season pass, or you can just use real currency to buy the operators or the map, or the operators or the extra weapons and that sort of thing as you're playing as well.
That's pretty much how it used to be, though.
Yeah, and I like it that way. I want the choice. I don't want to be on Call of Duty and forced to buy a new map pack because my son's brought it.
Yeah. Well, at least with some of the older purchases on 360 and PS3, used to be that if you bought them on the console and you know you kept that account on there, then you know other people could play it. But
yeah,
I kind of prefer the idea of just. You know, you can unlock the things.
Yeah, I like it.
I think that. I think that kind of thing is. It kind of usually it's pre-order bonuses that I'm thinking of. I think actually, where you kind of pre-order and you get like free a costume or something like that, which you can usually unlock somewhere in the game.
Or buy it at a later date,
Capcom. Yeah, or buy it at a later date, and yeah.
Which is always good.
I mean,
the positive that I'm taking away from this is not only is it, you know, kind of as it used to be anyway, where you could just unlock things in the game, but I approve of the move away from the you know, the starter code, where you, you'd get a code in the box, and it would be a little bit of extra content if you bought the game new.
Mm. Yes.
You know, like the, you know, the £10 or the $10 tax for you know, buying Mass Effect 2 pre-owned or, you know, whatever.
Or on the original Star Wars Battlefront, you got the Battle of Jakku map for free if you purchased it brand new. And then about 3 months later, they released it for everybody anyway.
Right.
Which sort of just really, what was that all about then? Hang on.
It kind of plays into my hands because I've always been, there's been very few games that I couldn't wait.
Yes.
So, more or less by the time I ever buy anything at the moment, it's, you know, the stuff's free. It's already been unlocked.
Well, I mean, the other factor involved is the fact that a lot of, like, the bigger titles, you can almost guarantee that there will be, like, you know, kind of an ultimate edition, which includes all the DLC and whatnot. So I'm wondering whether people are kind of waiting for, like, that version of it to come out. A lot of time.
Yeah.
I have done that in the past. I waited for, after you know, chomping at the bit. Mm. Yeah, I know I've just said a very few games, but Fallout 3 was one of them.
Mm.
And I, you know, I threw money at the DLCs as, you know, they came out, and I made the decision later, right, because they're, you know, there are a few hours and such, but they're not hugely well integrated. I'll wait when it comes to, you know, New Vegas. And that was one of the first games I waited for. And I've done that a few times since, where I know there's going to be DLC. So I'll hold off a little bit. I think a decent compromise for that was with Fallout 4, where they did the season pass, but because it seemed to be even more successful than they anticipated. They said they were going to be doing more DLCs, and they were going to increase the price of, you know, the season pass. But they held off, and, you know, they said, right, we're doing at the end of this week. Anyone who buys a season pass will get all the DLCs, but if you buy it before a certain date, then you will get it cheaper. And it, okay, fine. So I bought the season pass for that.
And I don't blame you for that, to be fair. You know, there is some DLC that I will pay money for. But just lately, it always seems to be, especially for shooters and that sort of thing, just mainly maps or new weapons and stuff like that, which...
Yeah.
Or if you're Capcom, it's just extra character, followed by extra character, followed by extra clothes, followed by extra character.
That does kind of remind me of Smash Bros. For Wii U and 3DS. And that DLC just kind of drove me insane, because it's just like, okay, so, you know, new characters, you know, fair enough. But, you know, kind of having like a separate code to kind of do either the Wii U version or the 3DS version or both and whatnot. And then you have all of the extra costumes that you can fit your Mii with. And it's like, are you seriously expecting me to buy all of this? Or, you know,
Course you are. But I'm going to mortgage your house for it.
Well, don't forget.
Are you a Nintendo fan? Then yes.
I'm a Nintendo fan, and I've purchased all of the characters. But I won't go near the, you know,
costumes
and stuff.
No.
I mean, it's a bit like, which Forza was it? It was after...
I think it was Forza 3, wasn't it?
It was after Forza 3. Oh. Forza 3, the DLC situation wasn't so bad. Forza 4, the DLC situation got ridiculous, and you could spend more than several hundred pounds.
On just new cars and stuff.
Yeah, it was quite ridiculous.
For a finer example of... Seriously, Mr. Publisher, you can fuck off and die with this. And, you know, they almost did with it. Was Evolve.
Yeah.
There was a fantastic Jim Sterling Jimquisition video about, you know, the situation with Evolve, where it seemed to be, you know, quick rundown. The studio... with a lot of the people behind the Left 4 Dead games.
Mm. Yes.
Went off and thought, well, let's do an asymmetrical multiplayer where it's like, you know, a bunch of players against another player, but the other player is playing a super-powered creature.
Yeah, I used to have that.
And yeah, it seems to be that the was it Activision or was it 2K? Or, you know, some you know big publisher. They just you know looked at it and saw dollar signs. And the deal situation for it was insane.
I still remember. And sorry.
It went so well that the game has gone free to play.
Yep, it has indeed.
Yeah, and they've kind of done a you know relaunch of it, mostly on PC because I think you know, console the ecosystems are a bit too restrictive for you know changing it up to quite that extent.
But, yeah.
Yeah, they've completely redone it, and the devs have said, you know, we never intended it to be this, you know, DLC time bomb that you know the publishers you know pushed them into, and yeah, it was like ah Jesus. I still think the best DLC I've ever encountered on anything up until I found out that I was being gypped. So that's a hell of a proviso, I know. Was for the Elite ZX Spectrum emulator on iOS, where the DLC would be packs of 2, 3, 4 games or so, either by one publisher or one developer or you know a game series, and you would get the full Spectrum games. So that's good DLC. But then it turns out that they were stiffing some of the original, you know, authors.
Yeah,
they weren't paying them. So, yeah. So that was one of the reasons I was quite happy to throw you know several quid on you know Spectrum games because I may not have been playing them on you know my iOS,
yeah,
iTouch, but I thought I was giving you know because they said it was giving money to the original you know developers,
yeah.
And I was quite happy with it. But yeah, it turns out no.
You like that? And I get why they're doing DLC and why you know, why they're charging for DLC, but for me, it's just been getting a bit...
There's a happy medium where if there's DLC, and, I mean, it used to be, didn't it, that you'd get, for things like Quake and Doom, you'd get huge chunks of game.
Yes.
But they just seem to think, oh, if we can do something that's maybe about 3 hours, if that... Or sometimes, you know, within an hour, you know, let's add a map or something, and it's just no, that's not good.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be a problem if the price point was low enough.
Well, that's what impressed me about the DLC for Mario Kart on the Wii U, because I ended up actually buying the DLC for it because it was actually quite reasonable. It's only what $11.99 for the whole lot.
Mm, yeah,
which and then. They've done those massive DLC packs. What's it called? Switch.
Yeah. Well, saying that, though...
You can buy the exact same game again, but with some extras.
Yeah. Oh, yes, this is true. But they say that, though, they've announced the new first DLC for Zelda Breath of the Wild, and apparently the season pass is only $17.99. And that'll cover the whole... two lots of DLC that's scheduled for this year.
Mm.
Which, to me, when you're thinking about how much it costs, so, okay, you're going to get four map packs with Call of Duty, but for the season pass, it's about 30, 40 quid on top of the game.
Wow, really?
When they first launch, yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's just crazy where you can buy the map packs separately for £11 each.
Mm. Well, I mean, do you want to go through the Legend of Zelda?
What, DLC pass? For the first one that's been announced?
Yeah. As Paul gets his credit card out.
I've already bought it. And I know that Emily can access it via the Switch as well.
Wait. No, that's interesting. Me being able to access it from a user account on the same console. That's fantastic. Yay. It's such a fucking shame that back in the day of Mass Effect 2 being released, that EA screwed you over if you decided to buy DLC. Mm. And you had to buy it on both accounts in order for both accounts or more on the console to access the fucking stuff. So you could end up with a household where you've got two or more people. No, on the 360 in PS3 and everything, Mass Effect 2, the DLC was absolutely fucked over for anyone who had more than one person playing the goddamn game on the same console. It was ridiculous.
I'm surprised by that. I must admit,
See, on the PS3, I've always found that if you've got two user accounts and one's got DLC, the other one can use it.
The frickin' content was tied to your goddamn EA Origins account.
Oh, fuck.
Basically our EA Origins accounts are permanently messed up because I ended up essentially merging our two accounts together to see if Paul could get access. And no, that didn't gain him access. So...
I don't remember this. What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, bugger.
And, so it was absolutely bloody ridiculous. And I don't think anyone's ever fucked it over that badly since, but it really pissed me off because, that was a lot of stuff. Well, yeah, I'm going to buy it fucking again.
Well, if there's a company going to fuck something over when the actual console holders aren't too bad...
Yeah.
When it comes to the DRM, then it's probably going to be...
Yeah.
Saying that, though, they've made some very shrewd, big announcements this year, EA have, on DLC.
EA seem to be in a constant state of flux. One second, and then they do something really good another, and then they release Dead Space 3.
did you have to bring that up? You silly man.
Because I played them through 360 and then I played them through again on PC. Then I upgraded my PC and I played them through again in 1080p on my nice big telly. And then I played Dead Space 3.
Been refusing to play Dead Space 3 since its release. I've had many opportunities to buy it cheap. And yet because of how much it shifted away from the original two games, I've refused to go near it.
Well, to be fair... You all know that I am not very much of a horror game or horror movie person.
Yeah.
But one of my favourite games on my 360 was Dead Space, the original.
It was just something
about it that sunk me into it. And then I played Dead Space 2, which, I'll be honest, I wasn't that overly keen with.
I liked it, but I still prefer the
original.
Yeah.
And then Dead Space 3, I played 10 minutes of it and just... switched it off, I think, and went to bed sulking.
It improved, but it still had it had gaping holes in it where it was you can't possibly afford to upgrade, your weaponry using the nodes like you could in the original game.
Absolutely,
but it had a little option saying that you could buy them with real cash monies and say no.
So just to. So move on back to DLC a bit. We did actually put a Twitter poll out earlier today on the Twitter account for Nerds, and we asked which of these is the most important factor when you decide to buy DLC, or is it there something else? We had four options because that's what Twitter would allow me to do, and the options were price, content, duration, season pass availability, and in a non-statistically relevant sampling of 17 votes, price has come out at 12%, duration has come out at 12%, season pass availability came out at 6%, and then what everyone pretty much responding at 71% decided was the most important factor is content. So that... you need actual content, and one assumes with people picking content that it needs to feel like content and not just like some free skins or something.
Yeah,
you can buy a hat for your horse.
So presumably, like a new mission or new series of missions, storyline. New modes, new characters.
Yeah,
new weapons.
Selfie stick for a pona.
Sorry, you say selfie stick for a pona. You can already take selfies in Zelda.
Oh, what was that picture that was going around of, like...
Oh, that horse. I was
sleeping on the horse armour from the original Oblivion.
Oh, God.
which was... If you're gonna absolutely fuck up DLC, best do that the first chance you possibly get, which is what happened there.
I think it's still some of the best DLC available in my opinion, anyway, is the Bioshock ones.
Minerva's Den. Yes, that was right.
Yes. Sure. I think that was great because you had a good price and you had the content to match it. You had a happy medium.
I quite liked the DLC that came out with Skyrim when I finally got to play it. The DLC that is not Skyrim. I had Skyrim like pretty early on. But
fingers crossed when that launches on Switch, it'll include all DLC.
It would be nice, or else it's going to regress the play.
Yeah.
It'll be £90.
Skyrim, Emily.
Pardon?
Have you played Skyrim at all?
Oh, you know, just... I mean, there was that brief period before Christmas on the PS4 version where I must have put in about 30-odd hours to go with the 400-plus that I've played across PC and Xbox 360 already, you know. It's like...
It's all right, then.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
I mean, despite the hatred that I had for it when it initially released, I don't know, maybe I've still got Stockholm Syndrome for that fucking game. Because it pissed me off so much
when you originally bought it, didn't it glitch out?
It was a gift.
All right, well, didn't it originally, what did I say, bug out or
glitch out,
making it impossible to, complete one of the main quests?
Yeah, well,
That would put most people off, to be fair, and especially in a game that big.
It was save often. Because you never know when the bugs might find you.
The bugs are after me.
I'm trying to think, because other than... You know, DLC's never been a huge thing for me in games. I liked it a little bit when you used to get stuff if you, like, pre-ordered. And you got a little something extra. Which did happen for Mass Effect 3, because I pre-ordered and I got, like... robot dog thing running around. In like the Normandy and a couple of other things, and I think maybe like a costume for Shepard and stuff. But I mean, when I've tackled DLC in the past and like I've bought it, it is stuff that extends gameplay and story that I've always preferred. But then that is the kind of games that I play where that would be like the main draw.
Yeah, which is kind of why I'm looking more forward to the the third or second part of the DLC for Zelda. More than obviously this upcoming one, the summer one.
Is the second part supposed to include more of a story?
Or yeah.
It extends the story or something, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is going to be quite interesting.
Ganondorf's big brother comes along and...
oh, my God.
Which is cool. But I think the biggest thing that I saw recently... So EA, as I say, they've... making some changes to the DLC. Titanfall 2, all the DLC has been free for that. Not pennies had to pass your bank account, which is quite nice.
I mean, technically speaking, is it really DLC if you don't have to pay for it? Because, I mean, I remember, like, Mario Maker, that had, like, free updates, which, you know, added in features and whatnot, but I don't think anyone would consider that DLC.
No, but the DLC for Titanfall 2 that they've released free of charge have been brand-new maps, brand-new weapons... Mm.
I think it's a case of how much the game would be enhanced as well. By
adding the extra maps and new robots.
Mm. But I mean, say for example, Fortress 2 is another one where it wasn't like DLC in the conventional sense of like paid for and whatnot. But I mean, the game's free now anyway, so
there was the hat economy.
Yes, that was.
Yes, didn't you buy lots of hats for that?
Buy that many hats. Won lots of hats.
Yeah, all of my hats. I got from, you know, the random drops and whatnot. I did not buy. I don't think I spent buying it one Halloween for about £2.50 before it was free. I haven't actually spent anything on it.
Joe, did we pay for the DLC for Left 4 Dead at any point?
I can't remember what the DLC was.
Extra maps,
weren't
they? Might have been. Or extra sort of chapters.
Because they added
extra chapters, yes.
Oh, yes, yeah. Stuff like Crash Course and whatnot.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd imagine we did.
I bought them.
It's been so long. You know.
That's because we need another Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
We do. And I'll point out that on PC, there's a PC exclusive campaign on there as well. You know, an extra, you know, chapter.
Well, we ended up playing it on PC as well, anyway.
But I'm kind of getting slightly off topic here. At the weekend.
What off over here?
At the weekend, obviously, I got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Woohoo. One of the great things that I've found about it.
Is that twice now you've bought that?
Firstly, you bought what?
Sorry?
Mario Kart 8.
Oh, have you got it for the Switch now?
Yes. And one of the great things that I found about it is that basically I can take it out and about, and I have basically two sets of Joy-Cons now. So I've got two lefts and two rights.
So, yes. Do you get together on like San Francisco rooftops and roof parties?
Well, I haven't quite gone that far yet, but what I have found...
With various photogenic people in, like, airports and stuff.
What I have found is that you can actually play four-player on the same console out and about.
That's cool.
Well, you say that's cool. What's really cool is hearing the joy of my brother's driving against Paul at my parents' at the weekend. It was just like the three of them gathered around this tiny Switch screen trying to race, and they were succeeding in racing. Oh, it was so adorable.
It was quite fun.
It was adorable.
Fun. I like the thought of being able to kind of take the Switch out and about and have multiplayer, you know, four player multiplayer wherever you are. And I can imagine something if they not that they would ever do this, but if they actually kind of launched a Left 4 Dead or something like that on the Switch, that would be quite a cool, like, little feature. To just, you know, out and about, hand out controllers to people, four-player instantaneous. Brilliant. Sorry, yeah.
Does anyone have anything else to say back? Yeah, bring this back to DLC. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to remark about DLC? Please.
Actually, I want your opinion on something.
Uh-oh.
Oh, okay.
So?
I'd get it seen to by a doctor.
Already have done. I've got the cream. Don't worry about it. Good. I've asked them to send your prescription anonymously as you requested as well. So the biggest news from EA that caught me was we've got Star Wars Battlefront 2 coming out, which looks brilliant. I love Star Wars Battlefront. But what they have announced is there is not going to be a season pass. When they looked at the way Battlefront had evolved over its lifetime with the DLC and everything, they decided, you know what, for this type of game, season passes are not the best thing. We need to take it apart and come up with something better. That was creative director Bernd Dierner. However, since then, EA have come out with a new press release saying, while we're not ready to confirm any live service plans just yet, what we can say is that we heard the feedback from our Battlefront community loud and clear. We know they want more depth, more progression, and more content, so we're focused on delivering that in every dimension of Star Wars Battlefront 2. We'll have more to share about this on our plans soon. So, in readiness, as I did suggest this topic for tonight, I've been doing my homework. And there's been quite a few people who have come up with a few ideas of what they think it could be. Would you like to hear more?
Oh, yes, please. I feel like you should have said that in the way that they say, do you want more information in Star Troopers?
Starship Troopers. Would you like to know more?
Yeah.
Would you like to know more?
Yes.
No.
Possible options. Quite a few people have come back with, oh dear, does that mean it's just going to cost more for the game? So is it going to be sort of $80 to $90?
No. Oh dear.
DLC is distributed more traditionally. While there may not be an upfront pre-purchase option for the DLC, it all still gets released periodically in £5 to £15 chunks. This would avoid headlines such as Battlefront really costs £120, but it managed to sell DLC, which is ultimately what he wants. I'm thinking that's more of a realistic view on things. That could follow the same respect as Titanfall 2, where all the DLC is free, maps, modes, heroes, while instead selling in-game cosmetics as aftermarket content, so you can buy different tattoos and stuff for your bots and that sort of thing. EA have started to see a real take-up of fans buying more stuff through microtransactions to actually personalise their characters and that sort of thing. So that would be a cool idea. But the only thing that gives me a bit of a weird thing is Titanfall 2, great game and everything, but hasn't actually been selling well. So they used the 3 DLC as a hook. Whereas Battlefront 2 is undoubtedly going to sell a lot more.
When's it due out?
November.
Well, yeah, so we've got a main Star Wars film coming out this year. And it's going to sell.
Exactly. So it could work. But I'm just thinking, with all the money that it's going to print, I'm not so sure. And then the last one, which I've seen quite a few people thinking about, is some type of subscription model.
Mind you, that's going to be somewhat unsavoury for people playing it on console who already have to pay a subscription in order for the right to play online.
Yes.
And I think I said that I don't have a PS4 or Xbox, but I recently let my PlayStation Plus lapse because, you know, when it came to what was being released on Vita and PS3 on it, I just thought they're not trying enough. So I just let that lapse. So I've got even less incentive at the moment because I don't have a backlog of new stuff every month.
So I'm thinking they'll probably go more of the traditional DLC personally. I would love to see him follow the likelihood of Titanfall 2, but I just can't see them doing it.
I have to admit, I think one of the reasons why I disliked a lot of the Smash Bros. DLC is because I prefer to have the DLC and kind of still have the game almost complete. It feels kind of irksome to me, like as kind of a video games collector as well, to have the game itself but not having parts of it accessible, if you know what I mean. So I don't think, you know, sort of like, well, I think season passes are actually probably a good thing because, you know, a lot of the time they do kind of, you know, have like all of the DLC for slightly cheaper than it is to buy them each separately.
I just think I wish there were fewer DLCs with more content.
Yes.
I did prefer that you got, whereas most DLC seems to be very piecemeal. It's just, you know, an extra thing or an extra map or, you know, whatever, an hour or so. I preferred the old mission packs for, like I said, Doom and Quake, and yes, old bastard, hello. But in that case, it's because you got an almost full game as an add-on. So yes, you needed the original one, but it would give you, you know, huge chunks of, you know, gameplay, and that would mean, you know, you'd be happier with it and, you know, more likely to, you know, get either a second, you know, mission pack or whatever you want to call it if it came out, or the next in the series. And that's an approach that, you know, went goes straight back to the 80s with things like I bought a pack of new scenarios for a game called Laser Squad, which was the forerunner to XCOM on the 8-bits. So, and again, the earlier games in that series, Rebel Star, they came out on the Speccy, and they were budget games, and they'd have, you know, a few scenarios each game, but then, you know, they were only budget games, so you could just pick them up that way.
Cool.
So there are all kinds of different approaches to this, and I just wish, you know, you got more, you know, value for money and you were happier with it.
Yes.
The constant I get from people who buy, you know, a lot of DLC is that they feel like they have to buy it, but they feel a little bit aggrieved every time. which is why I think with Titanfall 2, yes, they're doing it to promote the game, but I don't know whether they, you know, already had that idea or not. But
I think it's a really good idea, to be fair.
Well, it's a good idea. I think that's how it should be. I mean, you know, you're paying enough. These games sell a hell of a lot most of the time.
Yeah.
So it pays to them. If they're going to try and keep the original, you know, price higher, then... And that's where, you know, you get into the whole, oh, what about the pre-owned market? And say, yeah, that's murky. I'm not that fond of the, you know, pre-owned things. But if they want you know, more people playing and more people buying their stuff, then you get better content and, you know, people are happier with it.
Yeah. Well, even the way Ubisoft has done it, I quite like that as well, where you've got a choice. There's three ways of doing it. You can either play right through and unlock it, or you can just pay up front for the season pass, or you can just pay for the little bits that you actually want.
Do you know what? I've just remembered the last thing that I bought DLC for.
Oh, cool.
And it wasn't a console game.
Oh.
Plague Inc. I you could play through to get load of the different like disease parts and everything and things, or you could pay. I decided to pay because I just wanted full Chaos availability straight from the start. So... That's a thing that happened.
Nice.
Didn't you call it Brexit?
I did. Did yes. Did I call one Brexit?
I think you might have done, yeah.
I know I was playing on it when I was a bit high because it was after the Wisdom Extractions last year.
Mm.
Yeah, I could believe that. Yeah. There were drugs involved. I think... I think it might be time to move on, guys, if we've done things. So DLC, I suppose, just to summarise, we want models that don't take the piss in terms of what people are willing to spend and how frequently.
Yes.
I'll tell you a good example, one which I've always had a bit of a weird relationship. I've never been a huge pinball game, you know, fan. When it comes to the tables. And yeah, I seem to really like pinball games when they're, you know, converted to a console or PC or what, you know, whatever. Bought a few tables for Ball Arcade, which are recreations of, you know, official boards, mm-hmm. you know, official tables. And yeah, I would like to buy some more tables for that. But the prices are a little bit insane for some of them. It's like there's about four or five seasons now, and you know they all have at least about 10 tables or so each, and they're about 25, 30 quid.
Whoa!
Yeah, so it's like I would like to give you money, but as someone who enjoys them, but I would never call myself a pinball, you know, game. You know, devotee. So I like playing some of them, and yes, my favourite one is Star Trek: The Next Generation table. And screw you, I'm a nerd. I really enjoy playing that one, and yes, I bought that one separately on Vita as well, so I can play it in portrait.
Okay.
But yeah, I would like to throw money at them, but the price really puts me off.
Well, at that kind of price, yeah, kind of not surprised. This is a bit insane. Yeah. Okay, so I suppose what have people been up to if we're going to move on now? Shall I ask first? Cookie, what you been up to?
I went to the cinema on Saturday.
Oh yeah, did you happen to catch this flick that's got like this bunch of like this group trying to save the galaxy or something?
It's got my new adopted son in it, yes, called Groot.
Adopted son.
Yeah, I'm gonna adopt a little baby Groot. I like him. And then I'm gonna hand him back when he turns into a teenager. Yeah. That's my plan. Bless. I did indeed, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was laughing through it, and I thought the characterization. The new characters that were introduced were brilliant. And just the actual sort of one-liners and stuff.
Yep. Paul and I really enjoyed it because we saw it on Friday after we took my little brothers to see it with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone was very happy with it, and there was very responsive audience watching it as well. Like a lot of laughter in the right places and sort of like gasps and stuff, and it was quite nice to be in a pretty much a full screening in like one of the largest screens in Cornwall, which is not saying much in comparison to the big cinemas up country, but like having that amount of audience response going on at the same time, like it's been a while that I've been to a film that has had people kind of that engaged,
yes,
and that responsive to what they're seeing on screen, which is really nice. And it felt like a worthy
sequel.
To the original.
It was, definitely. I think it was incredibly good sequel. And there was the chance, because it was getting a lot of hype, just like the previous one. And all sequels tend to disappoint you when they're really hyped up like that.
Yeah.
But this one, it was definitely worth it. I'd go and watch it again.
But what was also good to figure out was that much of what we'd seen in the trailers for it weren't actually the majority of the film.
No, which was really cool.
Because I was really worried that like most of it had been revealed, and actually no, turned out that it hadn't been, which was nice.
It was, yeah. Definitely.
And there was definitely really some good character development and stuff kind of going on with people that had obviously appeared in the first film. And
yes.
That was good.
And Stan Lee's cameo. Ah, brilliant.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Brilliant.
And yes, people, you do need to sit through the fucking credits.
Till the end of the credits, definitely.
Just
yeah, how do people keep missing that with
I don't Marvel? Know, but this was like one of the first screenings of this thing. And it's like, I know they hadn't all gone to see it previously, and there were people leaving with the end credits. It's like, why? You know you're going to miss things.
Oh, definitely. And there's so much between the credits on this one as well.
Yeah.
Not it's, like Elvis, like, where you've just been sat there till literally the end credit and then seen one scene.
Yeah.
This has got loads.
I think it's like something like five.
Five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy. What else have you been up to?
I also watched the very first episode of American Gods.
We did as well.
Which I have to say, dead chuffed with. Enjoyed muchly. Although,
have you read the novel before?
No, I haven't. Read the novel. No, I've read. Which one have I read? It's the one he wrote. Neil Gaiman wrote with Terry Pratchett.
Good Omens.
Good Omens, yes, which I believe has also been given the green light for a TV series later this year.
I think it might have been, yeah.
Should be nice. But I must admit, it's very, very weird. Very interesting. It feels very different.
The book's very weird, so they've managed to carry on.
Yeah, I assumed it would be, to be honest.
Yeah.
After reading Good Omens.
I'm looking forward to both Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and American Gods.
Mm. Yeah, I was dead impressed with it, actually. I'm just waiting for the second episode. So, Ian McShane as Mr. Renzi, brilliant. Bless him.
It was interesting to sort of like see stuff that I'd read, because it is really out there in terms of the imagery in like the actual prose. So,
oh, yeah.
And like how they handled it. Certain, I'm not going to spoil it, though it is one of the book's most infamous early scenes. How they handled that scene.
I think I know which one you're on about.
Yeah. That was in... I was really wondering how they were going to handle that. They handled it pretty much as I expected they'd probably try to handle it. Yeah. If you watch it, you'll realise what scene we're trying to not spoil.
Definitely. But it is definitely worth watching as well.
Yeah.
Which is good. Apart from that, that's about it, to be honest.
Shall we go next? Collectively. Also, so Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yep.
American Gods.
Yep.
We also today caught the first two episodes of Preacher. Was it two or three?
Two.
First two episodes of Preacher, because we hadn't actually watched it.
Oh, yeah.
Found it really interesting. Going to watch the third tomorrow when I do my exercise session.
What is this on? Is this a box set or...?
No, it's on Amazon Prime, because we've got Prime subscription.
So. Yeah, it requires binge watching. It will reward that. It's quite slow paced.
Mm.
But yeah, I'll just say the fight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I remember vaguely reading part of a trade paperback of the comic originally.
I think I've got original copies of it somewhere. So I was buying it up to a point when it was originally being released, because I was a fan of Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon.
Yeah.
Garth Ennis the writer and Steve Dillon being the artist.
Didn't Steve Dillon unfortunately pass away end of last year, early this year?
Yes, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So. Bless him.
But so I really liked Preacher. What else? Oh, okay. So, my Windows 8.1 laptop, tiny little thing that has always struggled for resources because of Windows 8.1 being just terrible on its meager frame. Like, this thing's got 30 gig memory, hard drive, and maybe 4 gig RAM, maybe less. And it's never been happy with 8.1. And so over the bank holiday, I took the plunge after backing up files on that. I took the plunge and made myself an image on a USB for Linux Mint 18.1 Cinnamon. And
yep.
I went and installed that on my Windows laptop and obliterated Windows on it.
Cool.
You know what? It boots and shuts down a hell of a lot faster now.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Before I'd be wait.
It was for cleaning Windows.
Oh. I've had a few bugs with it, because it's Linux, and unfortunately that kind of thing happens, but I've been able to find solutions or think my way through things. So I got my VPN working on it. But not through an app. I had to do some weird setting stuff and do a little bit of tinkering to get it working. And
on DNS, stuff like that.
Yeah. I think it's using OpenVPN protocol, but obviously through their servers. Getting Dropbox to work. And Dropbox is working on it, but it's got this weird habit of sometimes when you turn it on, and it's running there in the background, but it won't show the icon down in the bottom right, the little applet.
Yeah.
So in order to get it to show up, you kind of have to stop and start Dropbox via terminal, or to kind of force it to reappear, because else you have no idea if the stuff you've been working on has obviously synced before you shut down. That's just a little bug that's got with it. I mean, it's not perfect, but at least stuff's working a lot faster. It's insane. Even Firefox is working far more stable on Linux Mint than it was on 8.1, or even at times working in a far more stable manner than it does on my Windows 10 work machine.
Yeah.
Which has even more system resources, and I think basically my conclusion is at this point is that Windows from 8 onwards has become too much of a resource sort of monster and is just eating things far too much. And obviously in the case of Windows 10, it's sharing tons of your personal information or how you're using the system with Microsoft.
Unless you turn it off.
Unless you turn it off, but then they still have other bits that still transmit away. So, it's nice.
Yeah, no, mine's all... I'm, why don't you want to use Cortana? Is that because Cortana can piss off? Why don't you want to use this? And because really, it can piss. Why don't you use Edge?
Oh my god!
Like the Internet Explorer, and that's what it is. Calling it something else doesn't make it new.
So I've been having fun with Linux Mint. I'm still sort of tweaking it a little bit. I managed to read up on how to like alter themes a little bit, or certainly a login screen theme. So I was able to sort of customize it a bit. Mm. So it's for me. I'm currently, it's weird though, because Google Drive doesn't have a native app on it at all. I'm sort of like looking at probably moving away from Google Drive for a lot of stuff. I mean, like Dropbox has got a solution that seems to work reasonably fine, other than, you know, having to force the applet to sort of like appear down on the system tray. But I'm kind of less love for Google at the moment.
In that way, I find it really annoying that some of those things aren't available on Linux, like, you know, as you say.
Yeah.
And yet, they are on Android, which is.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously. Like things with like Chrome OS and that, and Android, that obviously Google, like, it's their thing, and they're happy to support it. Whereas like random Linux distros, they're.
But I mean, as in the, you know, the apps I use to sync certain files, they're not Google things.
Mm. Okay.
They're like, you know, third party ones. So it's just, well, if I can do that on my phone, why can't I do it on
Linux?
And mostly, it's down to, unfortunately, some of the people who would be able to do that deciding that they don't like, you know, certain big companies.
So I'm kind of looking at Dropbox a lot more at the moment, which makes sense because I am paying for it. So whereas I was
that makes more sense then, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking the free version of Dropbox is not very big, is it?
No, it's only 15 gig. So I think I am slowly gonna. Though I'll probably use another laptop to help me back everything up onto Dropbox.
I think that's Google Drive. I think Dropbox is about 2 gig or something like that.
Yeah, but I've got a paid version because I'd always originally used it for backing up camera photos.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got that, then you might, and it works, then why the hell not?
Yeah, I'm sure. Other than the experiment, what I've been up to, I think those are pretty much. I mean, Supernatural was on last week. I suppose I should mention that. It came back from a mini hiatus. So that was episode 19 last week, and crazy shit happened. And,
oh, Cass, you large you.
Oh, yeah, and there was a mixtape involved, and the fandom kind of went fucking crazy over this mixtape. Because in some ways it could be interpreted in a very shipping sense. And then another side of the fandom was like, blah, no. So there were shipping wars over the past week of immense magnitude and disappointment.
Sounds like a program on Dave.
To be fair, like, the attitudes of some of the people involved in antagonising sides, it's pretty piss poor. But it was a really good episode to come back to, and the actress who played, is it Naomi?
Amanda Tapping.
Amanda Tapping back in season 8. She directed the episode, and Behrens and somebody else wrote it. Yeah, it was really good. There was enough going on, and it like progressed things, and now it's kind of left me wondering what the fuck is going to happen, because we've only got, let me think, about 4 episodes left, basically. And the finale
will find some way to fuck it all up.
Yeah, and the finale's a 2 episode special. So for season. So yeah. Supernatural was on in the UK last week was because we're so close to the Americans now, it was episode 12-17, which was an Eileen episode Eileen turned up. It was lovely. And terrible things happened at the end of the episode. Thankfully not to Eileen, but to other characters. But it wouldn't be Supernatural without terrible things happening to people. So, you know, it's part of the course.
But unlike a lot of the other female characters who have appeared in the series, not to her.
Thankfully. I would like it to stay that way.
Yeah, really. I like her.
Yeah, Eileen's cool.
Me? Yeah. I've been playing Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. I mentioned that a bit earlier. The battle modes, very fun. And yeah, just working my way through it. And yeah, it's quite enjoying it. I've also been watching Bill Nye Saves the World.
Woo!
I've only ever kind of seen Bill Nye, like, since...
Well, the science guy wasn't big over here.
Well, exactly. Yeah, because I never saw him on TV when I was a kid. Sorry?
Wasn't really shown over here at all.
No, it wasn't. I don't think so. I mean, if it was, one assumes it was on some dark corner of Sky, like a weird slot on like Nickelodeon or something like that.
But the new series, Bill Nye Saves the World, is kind of aimed at adults.
Well.
But a lot of time it's kind of explained in an entertainment-y type way that's like, yeah, it's kind of aimed at adults, but by the same token, there's still like the elements from his original kind of TV show in there. Zaniness and, all sorts. And that's going quite well. He's tackling loads of subjects from climate change to GMOs and, AI and stuff like that. So...
And anti-vaxxers.
He's really annoying right-wing arseholes.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely, it's brilliant.
Two thumbs up.
It is brilliant.
But part of it was, like, because a load of the stuff that he's been talking about, except for, like, GMOs, but certainly stuff like vaccinations and climate change, like, at least up to a certain point in the national curriculum for England, so basically about, let me think about this, when was I doing my GCSEs? Right, so 15 years ago, shit was being covered at GCSE level. Like stuff about vaccinations, how they work, why they work, why, you know, the population, when they're capable, you should have them. Climate change was also being well discussed and explained thoroughly and stuff and that. But obviously, since I was in school, we've had the Conservatives leading the government and messing with the curriculum. So while I could say safely for myself that, oh yeah, I was aware of the science and stuff, of issues like that, the Conservatives, what they've done with the national curriculum potentially for the last, since 2010... is kind of, it's a bit more on the American side of things. And when I say American, I mean, you know, kind of Midwest kind of attitude.
We had Michael Gove as education secretary. Sure, he had a fantastic relationship with teachers.
Yes, fabulous relationship. Stunning.
Everything Michael Gove knows about teaching being sold on a blank notebook.
It's one of the criticisms of kind of science is that it should stay out of politics, and it's like a lot of times it kind of politics needs science.
Yeah,
it really does.
Yeah, but politics should have a metric fuckton. That's a metric, not imperial. Metric fuckton of science in it. So,
It should be a lot of policies should be evidence based, like our drugs policies. But apparently, that's not something that keeps happening, and so the war on drugs continues.
That annoys the Daily Mail, so we can't have that.
But Bill Nye Saves the World's been really good. Not that I've been like watching it as thoroughly as you, because I'm usually reading when it's on. But when I catch snippets of it, it's been like...
I mean, it's not really just good. Pure science. It is very much entertainment as well. You know, it's very tongue-in-cheek. It knows exactly what it's doing.
But it also looks at the social and cultural issues around science as well.
And before that, I was actually watching, The Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson on Netflix as well. Which
is kind of weird because it's obviously very factual and there's lots of computer-generated imagery and stuff like that. And it's kind of, he is alone presenting, kind of this quest through the cosmos, going from like planets to, kind of DNA and, all sorts of stuff in between. And I think there's definitely kind of a culture of science around at the moment, which is kind of nice. It's just a pity that, we can't get more, stuff in, not just like physics and chemistry, but biology a bit more and whatnot.
Help me, science, Kenobi. You are my only hope.
Okay, Retroid.
Retroid?
Retroid. Well, I've been mostly looking after, people say it's, house sitting. I've been looking after a cat.
Cool.
For my parents-in-law, who have been away on holiday, so I've been going around there. And while a cat has been in various stages of upside downness on my knee, I've been watching Star Trek: The Next Generation on that there Sci-Fi channel.
Yay!
Cool.
And first episode when I started the looking after him, as in the cat, the house. Was Damok.
Ah.
Which is one of my favourite ever sci-fi stories. So Damok on the ocean, Jilard on the ocean, Damok and Jilard on Tanagra, the beast of Tanagra, Damok and Jilard on the ocean. There you go, capture all review there. Sorry, Picard and Daemon at Eladrell. The River Tamar in winter. And shouting cat, hello, yes. The cat I was looking at is actually the brother of the cat that's just been shouting.
Ah.
Yes, he is. Mostly while I've been watching episodes of Next Generation, because let's see, there was Darmok, there was Unification 1 and 2, which is the one and only time. You had Leonard Nimoy appear as Spock in Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Yep.
And I noticed that in the second part of the story, one of my favourite cock-ups when it came to little things that sneak through the editing process. Mm. There's a scene where Picard and Data are in the office of Sela, who's the I'm a nerd. Shut up. Sela, who's the half-human daughter of Tasha Yar, who travelled back in the past.
Yes.
And they walk out, and there's a green glass sculpture that's sitting on the table. And there was someone chewing gum in the reflection. Obviously, but one of the studio crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could see it in the reflection for years. And then, of course, now because these are the remastered HD, where they've taken all the elements apart, used the original film sources, recomposite all the special effects, they've changed that. So now it you don't see the film crew member eating chewing gum. Also,
they should have just changed it to a Romulan. Chewing gum.
Just put Romulan ears and eyebrows. Again, tipping my nerd hat. In Darmok, for some reason, when they fire on the alien ship to try and get them to drop the dampening field so they can transport Picard back up off the surface of the planet, for some reason the fire. The phaser fire came from the torpedo tube.
What?
In the original one, yes. There was no reason for it. Apparently, there was a cock-up, and by the time, they realised... that always used to really irk me, because it's like, why is phaser fire coming from the torpedo tube at the front of the Enterprise? Who has the... USS Enterprise 1701D technical manual on his bookcase somewhere. But they've changed that, so now it comes from the phaser array.
Bloody hell.
So thumbs up on, there you go, two little cock-ups in Star Trek Next Generation, which I noticed they had repaired in the HDI versions. And, I've been doing very little else because I was poking around in the guts of a ZX Spectrum, but I haven't had the time to this week because by the time I get back, from families, it was late and it's like, no, I'm not really trusting myself with the soldering iron.
No. Don't blame you.
And I think previous to that, I can't remember with it being 2 weeks since we recorded, did I mention watching The Expanse Season 2?
Yes, I believe so.
I'll just say everyone should go and watch The Expanse. It's really rather good. Have you watched The Expanse yet?
No.
Been a little go bit watch busy. The
Expanse. Now, go on, do it now.
No, I've already booked my time off for Sense8 at the end of the week.
Oh, is that on the end of this week?
Yeah. Yes, Friday. Season 2.
Good, good, good. That's something for us to watch because we've pretty much exhausted everything else now.
Yeah. Dan, I do like Sense8.
Oh, there was a new episode of Lucifer on. Yay!
Yes, I watched that last night as well.
So that was good. Good old Lucifer's back. Good old Lucy.
Yes. Very sneaky, sneaky.
Yes. And also Gotham was on.
I'm still trying to get through season 2 of that.
We still haven't got through season 1.
No, I think we actually broke, didn't we?
I'll just say I'm glad that our spirits were lifted by the quality of watching the new episode of Lucifer after watching the new episode of Gotham.
Oh, okay.
But at least the Riddler is making a proper appearance.
Cool. Okay.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know, with Gotham, I get the feeling I'm watching a superhero-themed soap. As in, like bad daytime soap that they take the piss out of an American.
See, this does not encourage me to return to Gotham.
No,
and
it doesn't.
Den and Ange are going to enter soon. Don't worry.
Oh, and I got an email from Netflix that was meant to be a political address from Frank Underwood to remind me that New House of Cards is on its way.
At this point,
I'm not sure if I can withstand, political stuff.
At the same time, though, this is politicians often getting their comeuppance. One advantage of House of Cards.
There you go. You've changed my mind.
When it started, House of Cards was kind of a dystopian kind of, this would be awful if this would happen. And now we're kind of looking at it and going, actually, can we have Frank Underwood instead of Trump, please?
It's a terrible situation to be in.
It just sort of, cheer myself up by watching Frank Underwood.
Sweet. Okay. Do we give a brief mention to Doctor Who for the weekend? Do we?
Okay.
What on earth was that?
That was me cooking in UK.
I liked it. And the Doctor punched a racist, so that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
And it annoyed a Tory boy on Twitter.
Oh, it did now?
I'll have to tweet out some of the screen grabs because he deleted, but he wrote a fucking hilarious thing where in an episode about an alien man who flies around in a box that's bigger on the inside and where there was an alien fish that was freezing the River Thames, he chose to take issue with the number of black people in London in the 18th century.
Oh, God.
Wow.
And was whinging about it being SJW and the lefties and blah blah blah, all the snowflakes wanting to make everything politically correct.
Oh God.
And it was one of the most hilariously shit things I've read in quite a while.
Oh man.
See, I am enjoying Doctor Who, but it just seems they could be doing more with the stories. They've got the really good ideas like the emoji robots. I just thought they could have done a bit more with it.
I prefer this one to the emoji robots.
I'm still enjoying it. I think this is the main thing we should be taking away from it.
Yeah, I'm digging Bill.
I'm a little bit alarmed and also annoyed that I am annoyed, that I am enjoying it, because you know, the previous two series with Capaldi were very patchy.
Hmm.
There were maybe two episodes per series which I, you know, quite liked, and the rest of them were just, yeah, I'm kind of wading through this. But so far, three for three on this season, I have quite enjoyed.
That's quite an impressive.
Yeah, so I'll be really, because of course this is his final season.
Yeah.
So I am vexed by that. But yeah. So Doctor Who quite enjoying.
Okay, well, that is all we've got time for this week. Cookie's already had to bow out, so it's good night from.
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as at Paul Blewett.
And it's good night from me, Emma King, on Twitter at EK6891. You can check notes for this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. You could follow us on. Oh, Cookie's just appeared in time to say bye. Do you want to say bye?
I just assumed you'd bug it off because of my actual dislike. Actual comments on Doctor Who for a change. You know, because it's normally me sticking up for it and then me saying,
Yeah.
Do you want to say bye to people?
I will now, yeah. Bye! Oh, I guess it's bye for me. Cookie, aka one_cookie on Twitter. He's lost the plot since Scott kicked me off.
See, it's just, if something screws up the, you know, the flow, then it really trips everyone up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, notes for this episode are over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. You can find us on Twitter at nerdpodcast. You can find us on Facebook and Google+ if you want to. Nerdsassemble podcast. This episode is available on iTunes and Stitcher and probably something else. I can never remember. But those are two that I meant to say. And that is it for this week. So, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Cookie's gone again. Goodbye, Cookie!